Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town. And after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally, and with me this week, as he has been every week for the last, 80 plus, 90 almost episodes, my good friend, my traveling companion, and my brother, Elliot McNally. Elliot, we're in the hot and arid southwest of the United States today.
We are, and being in this town, Vince, really makes me think about salesmanship, I think above all else, and about our great-great-grandfather, Rand McNally, the best salesman of them all.
Truly, before people bought maps to put in their homes, you know, maps were usually a thing that kings and courtesans would buy for their diplomatic purposes, but the average family household wouldn't own a map. That all changed when Rand McNally came along.
They say that Rand could sell ice to an Eskimo. And in fact, he did. And it was only after that Eskimo found out what had happened that he subsequently broke Rand's legs and put him in a cabin in an almost misery-esque situation. But it was there, when Rand was healing, that he literally wrote the book on map selling.
Yeah, a really weird situation, since the Eskimo was visiting from Alaska. He was in Texas, and he specifically asked for ice for a drink that he was drinking, and Rand happened to have some. So it seemed like a really sort of kosher, above-the-table sale at the time.
Yes.
Yet the Eskimo was sort of an unstable gentleman and broke his knees anyway.
But it was a happy accident, even though it was very premeditated. Rand wrote the book on map selling, and if it weren't for that, Vince, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't have this show, and we wouldn't be meeting the interesting people that we get to meet.
Absolutely. For all the money that we've poured into Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' Comprehensive Guide to Small Town America, we have sold fives of pre-ordered copies. So our return on investment, I'm no economist, but I think it's through the roof.
We have definitely taken a page, several pages, if you count the pages that we've used to pad out our almanac, literally.
Blank pages from former Rand McNally journals.
From his main journal, the map selling book he wrote, Crossing Lines, the Hiccups and Trickups of Selling Maps. State to state, door to door.
Great name, honestly, for such a book.
Yeah, and I think it's really at the forefront of what we're talking about today, Vince, in a town that I think we should put on the map.
We sure should, Elliot. So listeners, unfurl, unfold, and unfetter your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and stick a pin in the westernmost point of Oklahoma, the OK State. One might call it the panhandle of such a state, and I hope that they would, because it's pertinent to the town that we're staying in, isn't it, Elliot?
That's true. For all you geography buffs out there, if you think about the westernmost point in Oklahoma, that's going to be right in what they call the panhandle of the state, that long, skinny part.
They call it the vertical anti-Idaho.
That's on their license plates, I think.
Right. So you imagine an anti-Idaho, that would make it horizontal, and then you verticalize that.
Huge rivalry between here and Idaho, by the way.
Hey, don't even mention the state. We're taking a risk by saying it right now anyway. Please continue, Elliot.
Vince, the reason we're here today and the reason we've decided to put this town on the map is because, historically, Handler, Oklahoma is the largest manufacturer of panhandles in America. But as time has gone on, the panhandle hasn't been such a hot commodity as it once was, and they've since needed to diversify their handle manufacturing.
Absolutely. If you think about it, America, how many times have you needed to replace the handle on your pan in the last 30 to 40 years? Not a whole heck of a lot. If you're going to do that, you're probably going to buy a new pan in general. Well, that's the times a changing, and that's the economy faltering. And the people of Handler, Oklahoma, have fallen on sort of hard times because of that. So the panhandle sales people of Handler have had to move on to different markets, though usually they are handle related. I bet, Elliot, that we have a guest that might be able to shed a little bit of light on this subject.
Anybody in the town would probably know him as a salesman for the prominent Handler Handles and Handholds company. Could you introduce yourself?
Hey there. My name is Russell Brinkman. I am a handle salesman. I am, this year I'm 65 years old.
You don't look a day over 70, so thank you so much for joining us. I am imagining you're a busy individual with a lot to do, so let's kick things right off by having you stick a pin here in Handler, Oklahoma, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, my strength isn't what it once was, but...
Russell, I hate to do this to you, but it seems like instead of using one of our pins, you've stuck a panhandle on the map, and I don't want you to think that we're actually buying this from you.
That can just be a demo handle, and if you guys enjoy that later, you could tell your friends and see if, hey, they have some handle needs of their own.
You know, I hate to push back, Russell, but typically our pins are about a quarter centimeter in diameter. That panhandle is several inches. It's destroyed a large central portion of the American Southwest on our map.
Sure. That is our standard handle size, but if you guys are interested in some other handles, other sizes, I could get you a spec catalog or...
Oh, and you have a giant suitcase with you as well.
I sure do. Handles aren't generally not small, so I got a whole bunch of handles here. The suitcase actually folds out to about 5x8. Quite the large suitcase.
Well, yeah, you've taken over most of our RV central cavity here. Well, we love to see a guest who's prepared, and it certainly seems that you are that way, Russell. Thanks so much for joining us. Maybe you can start by telling us about how you got into the panhandle selling business and what's happened since the nation has turned away from the noble panhandle. What have you done since?
Sure, absolutely. I came here from Maine, like most handle salesmen in the late 70s.
The handle boom.
Right, exactly. Those were quite the years.
Fast times.
Really, really quite, loud cars and beautiful women. That was my life for quite a few years there. Yeah, there are only so many handles you can sell, or as time has gone by, people really haven't been replacing their panhandles as much. It's been getting pretty hard here. I don't want to bring you down, but I've lost a few friends to this business.
They died?
Yeah, some have died, some have just become so wrapped up in the business that that I don't even know them anymore.
Work has consumed them more or less.
Exactly. And really it's a, right now it's quite a lonely trade. We, in the late 90s, people try to diversify a little bit, get into other handles, mugs, suitcases, what have you. And I still carry that full line, but I'm an adamant believer that, I built my life on panhandles, and that's really where my ticket is.
I'm glad you brought up the 90s, Russell, because I think one of the most fascinating chapters in Handler's history is the dot-com boom of the mid to late 90s. It says here in your information dossier that I just happen to have that you registered the domain handle .pan. Now, did the .pan boom pan out as much as you had hoped?
It did not. It really didn't. I was not, internet savvy at the time. And I thought, hey, listen, the internet's going to be big. We're going to need to get handles on the net. And yeah, registered .pan. Aside from a really brief jump in traffic around when Pan's Labyrinth came out, it's really just a drain on my monthly finances. I keep it up there because I truly believe that the cornerstone of any American household is the kitchen, and in that kitchen, the cornerstone are the pans and the handles on those pans.
Interesting way to think about it.
And I believe as a culture, we're moving away from that, and it's It's making it quite hard, I'll be honest.
Well, what I like about you is that you have a doggedness. You have a tenacity about you. You don't see in a lot of salesmen these days. And it's pretty interesting to point out that I just Googled handler handles and handholds, and you guys don't even have a website. You still do everything catalog-based.
That's correct. Really a lot of door-to-door, a lot of sending out catalogs. Our catalog now is about 843 pages, all large print, of course. We send that out, and then we go door-to-door to every single household we send that to. And we really think that it's the personal connection that's going to make it better, that's really going to drive that sale and close that deal.
This is actually the one day a year you're in town, because the rest of the year you're traveling door to door.
That's correct. I have a 1991 Dodge Shadow 2-door that I drive across this great land, and I have a trailer that I run from that vehicle to just store all my wares, my various handles.
Well, it means a lot to us that you took what little free time you have, not to see your family or friends, but to indeed do our show. Elliot, I'm guilty as charged. I love to read town microfiche.
I know you do, Vince, and you've talked about this a lot.
I've got some microfiche here. It says, Yellow Pages phone book sues local salesman over size of catalog. Grievance: Guinness record at stake.
I will tell you as much as I'm legally allowed to say about that. I'm here to sell handles. That's why God put me on this green earth, and we really thought, hey, the larger the catalog, maybe we can get some Guinness recognition. We could, just use that to gin up a little bit of popularity.
Interesting that you should use the word gin up, because I'm getting a very fragrant sort of juniper scent from your coat and shirt, sir.
Oh, yep. You know, that's just the aura of the salesman right there.
You know, talking a lot about this lawsuit, I don't want people to think that you're not tech savvy, or that handler handles and handholds is not forward thinking in the technological sense, because I mean, just like any salesman, you have what appears to be a Bluetooth, but I think it's just a landline phone that's you've duct taped to your head.
That's exactly right. You know, I'm always on the go, and I always need to be connected, and so I do carry around this this landline earpiece, and I plug it into any outlet, phone outlet that I can see. I have an MCI calling card that I dial in anytime I need to make a call, and it seems to work just great.
You are always making a sale. It seems like you're always on the move. How many sales have you made in the last week?
Well, the last week would be zero.
How about the last month?
Sure. It's been a hard month. It's definitely not handle season.
What is handle season again?
Well, handle season is the late summer and early fall.
I see. It makes total sense now that you bring it up.
When people are cooking more, getting back to the household, getting back to the kitchen.
Exactly right. Yeah, and it's a lot of kind of, we run a lot of, hey, back to school, back to handle sales.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, things like that. So
that's why you're the professional.
To be honest, it's been a down month. I did make a pretty nice sale. I sold a 4.5-inch cast iron handle to a lovely woman named Martha a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, it was a good solid $20 order. And I really hope she can become a repeat customer.
What is your commission on something like that?
Sure. I'll end up with about 2% of that.
Do you mean to say, Russell, if I'm doing some napkin math here, does that mean you made $1 in the month of April? Is that what you're telling me?
No. $1 would be, I believe, about 5%. To be honest, I'd kill for that.
We were just rounding up.
I forgot to carry the two, so it's 80 cents that you made in the month of April then.
That's right. And to be honest, I'm actually kind of in the red there because, the Shadow, not the most fuel-efficient car. And so you know, kind of feeding it a lot of fuel to get around.
Yeah, 80 cents gets you, what, 4 feet?
That's correct. I don't like to do that kind of math. You know, you can get a little bit down if you really try and plan out all your finances. So I try to...
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not sure the fellows on Shark Tank would be impressed with your conversion margins. Less so the gentleman on Puerto Rican Whale Shark Tank. Russell, could I ask you, since we're in such sort of strivenous economic times here in America, in what ways have you diversified your sailing portfolio? It can't just be panhandles, and we know that it's not. So what have you branched out into in order to try to bolster your coffers?
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you asking that and giving me a chance to kind of showcase my wares here. And hey, tell your friends. I've long been selling mug handles. You know, a lot of people are somewhat careless in the dishwasher.
Heck, I know I am.
Right. So I have a full line, you know, with whatever curve or angle you might need. You know, have real little dainty things for tea parties or really big honkin' mug handles if you want to feel like a man.
Man, that sounds like the handle for you, Vince.
Hey, I don't mean to toot my own handle, but how many of these mug handles do you sell? It sounds like this is a pretty promising industry. I know I've broken multiple handles over the course of my 28-year life.
Usually when you're throwing them at me when I'm presenting you with a new copy of Chew On This, Elliot McNally's Food Guide to Small Town America.
I'm just not sure you need to do a multi-hundred print run for a simple spelling correction, Elliot. That's all I'm saying.
We both have our own methodology.
I did notice that the floor of this RV is covered in broken porcelain.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's just the topmost layer. Actually, beneath that are several hundred pages of discarded manuscript for Chew On This. So
it makes driving kind of dangerous, but
yeah, it's a kind of a Grand Canyon of RVs.
You know, guys, we've delved a lot into the industry of handles at large, but Vince, I think we have the perfect segment to dive a little deeper to industry in Handler, Oklahoma.
I think you might be right, Elliot.
Let's go on then to giving them the business.
So listeners, one of our favorite parts about small town America is that the entrepreneurial spirit here thrives like nowhere else. People are starting businesses, they're seeing them through, and they're carving out a niche for themselves and their families. That's what we love about small town America, and that's what we're focusing on in giving them the business. The towns that we visit have interesting businesses, and I'm sure that our guests can shed some light on them.
I think that all of this stemmed from the original handle company, and correct me if I'm wrong, Russell, and I know that your boss, Blake Handler, is known in the industry to be somewhat of a tyrant to his employees and really reels you guys hard for not making sales. Is that true?
Oh, yes, that's quite true. I used to be a few inches taller, actually, before the business, and just kind of constantly being beat down has given me a severe hunch, and I suspect I've lost bone density just from Blake's tirades.
You also had to sell your feet 1 month to make your car payment, right?
That is correct, and very luckily, through a loan from a friend, was able to buy them back, but, boy, that was a rough month.
It looks like, if it's any consolation, that they've grafted back on very fittingly to your shin, so...
Thank you. I much appreciate that. They do good work down at our Handler Hospital.
I've got a good view of them since your shoes are sort of split open like a vagrant might be on an old Donald Duck cartoon.
Right. And I do tell all my potential clients, don't judge me by my handles and not my shoes. Bought these shoes in 1982. They've served me quite well since then. I've been through several sets of laces. But the leather's mostly holding up here.
These have no laces right now.
That's correct. Last couple of years, I haven't actually been able to afford laces. But hey, hopefully, you know, some folks will listen to this this interview of yours and buy some handles.
You know, and they say laces are the handles of shoes. I think I've heard that.
Is that what they say?
Yes, they say that often. I've heard that many a time.
It's that kind of innovation that I think has really put Handler on the map. So starting from just panhandles, what are some businesses you can think of that have really diversified what it means to be a handle?
Yeah, well, we've had Handles Plates. It's a local plate store downtown. When you think about it, you know, Handler didn't want to, Blake opened that one as well and didn't want to stretch too far from the kitchen concept. So it's a full store dedicated wholly to plates. Really the secret there is, you know, think about it, if you take a handle and you kind of flatten it out, you kind of smooth it out, you got a plate.
It seems like it takes a lot of work to flatten and smooth out an iron handle.
Sure does, but that's really what makes the a quality plate downtown. Mm. I have dabbled with a little bit of kind of contract work for Blake's Plates and Handles Plates downtown, but business isn't as easy there as it might have seemed. You know, grass is always greener.
Blake's Plates, also owned by the same Blake that owns your company, he seems to own all of the handle distribution and manufacturing in this town.
That's correct. Yeah, he owns most of the town property. For a while, he was the minister at the church. A big figure in the town.
You have your business plan here with you, and it seems like it's just, it seems like Blake drew this. It's a triangle with Blake's name written at the top, and that's how the business works. Is that kind of what I'm grasping here?
Yeah, that's correct. Blake, certainly our leader, our founder. He's a very hard man, but a very blessed man as well, and definitely. If he doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. So we're all very reverent and very fearful of Blake Handler.
Wow. Well, I would love to, if we could, talk about a place that I visited that I thought was
great, Vince.
Very interesting. It can't be said that Handler, Oklahoma, is a one-note town, because, in fact, I heard many notes in the place that I went to. It was a music shop where instruments were sort of repurposed and refurbished in a way that they could be played on various handles. And it was called Handler Handles Handles Handles.
It's called Handler Handles Handles Handles.
That's right. That's right. Of course, named after George Friedrich Handel, the Baroque musician.
The composer, yes.
Yeah, that's right. And their motto is, if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. Basically, they take handles that have been sort of discarded or broken, and they fashion them into various types of xylophones or chimes, or, you know, sometimes they'll stretch them a lot thinner and make them into guitar strings, etc.
Interesting to note, maybe you can add some color to this too, Russell, that none of the instrument cases at Handler Handles 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 have handles on them.
That's correct, yeah. It was actually a big legal case, and it was a bit confusing, to be honest, because obviously Handler Handles Handles Handles, owned by Blake Handler. It was a legal case about copyright in terms of handles and handle shape. In the town of Handler, Oklahoma, it is illegal to make really any shape or form of handle if you don't have a contract with Handler Handles. That's because Blake owns all that intellectual property about the shape and size of handles, and when he opened this other store, and this store actually started to make their handles for those cases, for those instruments, turned out they were violating copyright, and it was a very odd, very confusing legal battle between both companies.
This is becoming quite murky, if you forgive my lack of legalese, Russell. What was the fallout from such a logistic and legislative round of combat?
At the end of the day, they settled, both Handler Handles and Handler Handles Handles Handles. They settled, and the agreement was that Handler Handles 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 would not put handles on their cases for their instruments, and instead would go into a joint venture with Handler Handles to provide those handles. Now, if you're going to go down to Handler Handles 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 and buy yourself a new age saxophone and put it in a case, you're then going to walk yourself over to Handler Handles, hand them your little validation slip, and they will sell you a handle for that case.
That seems like it worked out perfectly to me.
Smooth as silk.
Absolutely. And, hey, anything that gets a salesman a commission, I am in favor of.
I'm curious to know what you guys in town think of, you know, the Calphalons of the world, the Allclads of the world that make pans that already have handles on them.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up because if there's been one thorn in my side since, you know, really since we started, it's Calphalon. And they make, boy, howdy, do they make a piece of shit product. I'm sorry to curse. I don't know if that's, that's allowed. But my anger for them really, it knows no bounds. Can't tell you how many sales I've lost. You know, you're out there, you're in some suburb of a nice, young, upcoming city, and family just tells you straight up, hey, we have Calphalon. We don't need a handle. And then they chase you out of their house.
Is it true that Blake Handler and Kyle Calphalon, the founder of Calphalon, used to be partners, and Handler would supply the pans with handles, and then there was some sort of falling out?
That's correct. It's kind of lost to lore a little bit, but yeah, they were partners in business, and
also partners in love. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Now, not a lot of people know about that. If you are down at the library looking at that microfiche, you'll notice a certain portion of that scrubbed clean. That was done by Blake Handler to try and cover up his affair.
Yes, it's literally been sort of bleached with Pledge. The lemony scent is unmistakable. When you want to erase a microfiche, listeners, you use Pledge. And yeah, there's an arts and entertainment section for nearly 2 months that has been completely wiped.
Exactly. And that really details their relationship. Listen, Handler, Oklahoma, you know, even as of the late 70s, hey, we were a very progressive town. We welcomed that relationship. But boy, when they broke up, it was rough. You know, I knew that Blake actually went into the workshop and he physically tore the handle off of every single pan they had in inventory at the time.
Aren't they made of stainless steel?
They sure are. And it was only kind of that lover's scorn that gave him the strength to be able to rip a riveted stainless steel handle off of each and every pan in there. I believe they were carrying on order of about 10,000 pans at the time.
That boggles the mind.
I think that's a very insightful look into the industry of Handler, Oklahoma, and why they had to diversify, and unfortunately it made your job maybe a little harder, Russell.
That's right, yeah. After that, you know, it looked really promising for us, looked like it would be a kind of a steady stream of business. But yeah, after that, and Calphalon really took off, not in, you know, I understand that why Blake chose to sell handles and not the actual pans, but yeah, we've been quite struggling. We've been struggling for a while. We've tried to move into other handles, suitcases, for instance. We do sell a whole line of suitcase handles, kind of a niche product. Not a lot of people will purchase that again. Much like a pan handle, if it breaks, you'll generally just buy a whole new pan. You'll buy a whole new suitcase.
I've got a question for you, quick, Russell. Do you sell sort of a la carte handles? Because I purchased a double bassoon made out of handles, and the case for it is upwards of, you know, 80 pounds. It's very difficult to carry. Is there any way that I can sort of just buy a handle that I can affix myself after the fact?
There sure is, but I'm going to be honest with you. I would feel poorly if I were to just sell you a handle for that case because, and I'm not trying to upsell you here, I'm just trying to be honest, you're going to need three handles for that case.
Now, I am a little reluctant, Russell, because I only have two hands. So it seems to me that at most I could utilize two handles.
Absolutely understand that. It sounds like you've never heard of a knee handle. Now, knee handle goes on the bottom of the case, can be propped up against your knee. Very, very useful when moving large objects. So we could get two nice custom molded handles to you. Here, I'll just hold this. This isn't perfectly
I don't think
molded.
You need to put your hands on my knees, Russell. I mean, I'm not trying to be standoffish.
I absolutely understand. Listen, for a first-time handle buyer, it can be a little bit odd. But let me just fit this knee handle to your knee, and you tell me if it doesn't fit perfectly.
It feels like my knee is about to break. It's extremely uncomfortable, I would say.
You're pouring molten metal on Vince's knees to get the mold right.
Yeah, and that's a service that I do offer. I will mold for free, get you that mold. You're not going to pay for that service.
Could I pay you not to do the second knee? Is that possible?
I'll be perfectly honest. You can pay me for anything.
Well, that sounds like it's a whole other barrel of cats. So maybe we should move on to the next segment, Elliot.
I think we should, Vince. Is one we call Wouldn't You Like to Know? Now, listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is, of course, our weekly opportunity for you guys to write in to Vince and I and our guests and ask us questions or queries about whatever town we're in. Each week we have three, and guys, I've got the first one.
Elliot, let's hear it.
This is very interesting, guys. This is a first for these parts. It looks like we have a little audio letter that was sent to us.
For some reason, I'm dreading this, but I'm also excited.
I know, I am too. It looks like it is from your boss, Russell, Blake Handler. I hope it's not bad news.
I hope so too.
So should we play this and see what his question is or what he has to say?
Yeah, I am holding my breath and holding on to my handles.
Okay, I think we all are. Let's play it.
Hey, Bucko, it's Blake Handler. I just want to make sure that you're actually paying attention to your sales and not being on some stupid fucking podcast, because that doesn't seem like a great use of time. But I'm down here in Malibu eating caviar and sipping some coffee, and I really hope that you're not sipping coffee, because we all know, I'm sure you know, that coffee is for closers, and buddy, I have so much coffee that I use Starbucks as dog water. So I want to know that when I listen to this stupid fucking podcast on Friday, that I hear from you three new brilliant ideas for handles. Do you understand me, fuckbag? Three new brilliant ideas from you for new handles. That's all I have to say.
Wow.
Did he say he uses coffee for dog water?
He said he has so much of it. He has such an abundance that he uses Starbucks as his dog's water.
So I don't know if that's good for the dog, but I don't want to tell the guy how to run his business.
I don't know, but he sounded pretty angry to me, Russell. So I feel like if you need three ideas, there's three of us right here. Maybe we could help you out.
Oh, please, yeah. One, yes. Oh boy, Blake, if you're listening to this, Mr. Handler, I'm sorry. You, sir, you have so much coffee. Oh boy. We got three ideas right here. I'll throw out the first one.
Great.
Baby handles. Developing children don't yet have a firm, opposable grasp. So it's a handle specifically for them, so that it's a little softer, a little smaller, and easier for babies to grab things.
That sounds great. That's one. Vince, do you have another one?
Yikes. I'm a little trepidatious given that he called our show a stupid fucking podcast on four occasions, but when in Rome, how about a Chelsea Handler handle? A handle... Ooh. That's wrapped in a sort of a vinyl of Chelsea Handler's face.
Would this handle also have its own really terrible talk show?
Yeah, you know, Elliot, I can't speak to the quality of the show that it might have, but given that it's a handle and incapable of speech, I wouldn't hold out high hopes for its ratings.
I think that's a great idea too. So that's two. What about like food handles? I mean, we've all heard of handheld food.
Oh, here we go with the food. Elliot O is on this food kick.
What? I think it would be great for people to be able to put handles on their food.
Yeah. Now, Elliot, are those handles you're imagining edible, or are they?
They are now.
Okay. I was actually going to warn against that, because keeping that kind of inventory is going to be hard.
No, it sounds like you've dabbled in this before.
Yeah, we had some perishable handles back in the day. Now, weren't specifically made out of food. They were made out of actually just kind of various herbs and spices, but gave us a nice fragrance. But they would go bad after a few months, and unfortunately, every handle salesman knows you're going to be carrying inventory for several years, if not decades. and those didn't last too well. But if you're talking about kind of a bronze or a cast iron handle that you could affix to a pear or an apple, I think that would sell quite well.
I think that's great. So do you think this will suffice for Blake?
Those are three new ideas.
He sounds like a pretty reasonable and understanding guy, so I don't think that will be an issue.
That he is not, but as long as he doesn't throw his dog's coffee water at me, I'm going to be a happy man.
It's going to be hard to hit you all the way from Malibu, but at the same time, he seems like a dedicated man.
Sure is. Yeah, he's very dedicated to his businesses and to his dogs. Generally running and owning the town.
He usually releases his hounds on anyone who gets near his several mansions. Is that true?
That's correct. Actually, as of late, he's taken to just permanently releasing his hounds. And you might have noticed through the streets of Handler, there are several very vicious, very hungry Dobermans.
It's interesting that the police here in Handler seem to actually just be Dobermans who are in little uniforms walking upright.
Right. And it would be, it would be cute if not for how vicious they actually are.
I do have to push back slightly. There's a private investigator who is a Saint Bernard who I think is legitimately fairly cute.
That's fair. That's totally fair. But if you will look again down at the where my shoes kind of open up and where my pants fray, you will see I am missing a chunk of flesh from my calf.
And now that you point it out, it's quite gangrenous.
That's correct, yeah. Hoping to make a couple sales through this podcast to pay for that.
What sort of procedure do you even have to restore that sort of injury?
It is beyond restoration at this point. That's what I've been told, at least at the clinic. They're just going to cut off really anywhere that's gangrenous and hope for the best.
Listeners, you can donate to Russell's surgery through his Indiegogo. We'll put that up on our website. I hesitate to offer any coupon codes, Russell, because it seems like then that'll make your commission negative and you'll owe Blake Handler money.
Yeah, not allowed to, really, since 92, haven't been able to offer coupon codes, so I do apologize about that. But really what you're buying in a handle, any kind of handle that I sell you, mug, suitcase, or one of our new food handles that we're going to start making, you're getting quality right there, and you're getting dedication. You know, if you call the customer service line, that is going directly to the phone that's duct taped to my head. You know, you're going to get me. You're going to get a dedicated customer service representative anytime you need.
It really is. I'm inspired to move on to the next question, which I have here for us all. And this comes from the old local library. It's not a letter per se. We're 0-2 on actual letters today.
Wow. It's from the old local library. Is that what you said, Vince?
Yeah, that's verbatim the name of the library here in Handler. So I'm reading this off microfiche, so forgive me if it takes a little
while. Again with the microfiche.
I don't pick the medium, okay? It says as follows, historic day for Handler! ! Local legends of the cinema, Jay Voight, et al.
Are you taking so long to read this because it's very small?
Yes, it's very small, Elliot.
Okay, just checking.
It's quite small. 2! Abscond with handles. That's only a headline. Do you care to elaborate? Its citation beneath is 1970s thriller Deliverance.
That's right. We had a huge handle theft. Took it right out of the lockup downtown. That's what we call where we store our handles. Massive theft. Some young guns had mistaken us for the town from Deliverance, and they came in and they wanted a kind of a souvenir from the film. They thought that, hey, these must be all the handles, the prop handles that they used in the movie. But no, they were real handles that real people depended on to give themselves a living. And a lot of people fell on hard times after that.
Vince, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like one of those young guns, according to the microfiche, was John Voight.
That's right. John Voight, Burt Reynolds, both members of this gang of ne'er-do-wells. I can't blame them. You know, they were running hot off of their commercial success. What was Deliverance? rolling through looking for a good time, they found a warehouse full of handles.
Someone said that they reached too high up towards the sun with handles made of wax, because that really came to bite them in the ass when they realized that they were bankrupting one of the main sponsors of the film, Handler Handles and Handholds.
That's correct, yeah. And if you think Blake is an intense person, yeah, you should have seen his father, Bucky Handler. Oh, he'd kill a man.
I heard he attempted to kill John Voight, actually.
That's correct, yeah. If you look closely at any later pictures of John Voight, you will see Bucky's handprints on his neck. He was trying to strangle John Voight for quite a while. Never succeeded, of course, but yeah, quite the altercation.
Yeah, because whereas Blake seems to be insanely strong and have the ability to rip metal handles off of pans, his father Bucky tried for several days to strangle John Voight, but couldn't get enough force around his neck.
It says here in the microfiche, he followed him around for weeks trying to strangle him.
With his hands around his neck, yeah.
That's correct, yeah. And to be fair, though, I think that maybe due more to the strength of John Voight's neck as opposed to Bucky, any perceived weakness of Bucky's.
A strong counterpoint. Well, perhaps you have the last letter for us.
Sure, I do. This letter here is actually from Suzanne Brinkman, and she writes, "Have been hearing about some of those great handles you have. Would love to purchase some. They seem like a good deal and a great investment. Where and how can I buy them?"
Isn't Brinkman your last name, Russell?
It sure is, yeah.
And is that page that you're holding completely blank, Russell?
Didn't realize that you could see around my shoulder here.
Yeah, we're sitting
only a few yards from you.
Yeah, I just figured now might be a good time to tell you a little bit more about handles, a little bit more about the deals we have. But if you want, we can. This might be a fake letter, so I'll put all my cards on the table. It might be a fake letter, but it is a real sentiment that I feel every day out in the field. People, believe it or not, are looking for handles. They want a quality constructed, a good rigid handle, and that's what I provide. But if you want, I can read an actual letter.
No, that's all right. I if you have anything more to say about rigid handles, I think it's a perfect time.
I appreciate that. Now, our handles are put through an 18-meter drop test. That means we drop them off an 18-meter suspension bridge. We make sure that they do not crack, break, or twist when they land. That's the kind of handle that you are buying when you buy one of our handles. We make sure we use the latest in forging technology. No forging technology, obviously, kind of maxed out around the late 1900s. But yeah, we have that top of the line technology that we're pouring into every single handle. So when you buy a handle, you know that it won't break, it won't crack, it won't twist. Would also like to say that while we can't offer coupon codes, our prices are incredibly low. You might buy a new pan for $300.
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like the cost of a pan.
With all due respect, you know, this is the industry that I run in, and yep, commonly see pans, really, an entry-level pan could cost you $200 to $300. Pans maxing out around $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah, being a foodie, I can second this. Vince, you're not in the industry. I think you should trust Russell.
All right, fair enough. I'll acquiesce.
Yeah, so and I appreciate that backup there. Yeah, and if... So if you are going to spend, let's say you are going to invest in a top-of-the-line pan, which I would not stop you from doing, you're going to buy a $3,000 pan. You know, they focus purely on that pan. That handle is probably a piece of shit, and I hate to use that language, but it is just what it is.
Now, Russell, allow me just to sort of try to wrap my head around it as not a foodie. You're saying if I buy a $3,000 pan, it's either going to come with no handle or with an inferior handle.
That's correct.
See, it's really difficult to believe.
Oh, no. With the pan technology, the way it is today, they are focused on that inner circumference, on the things that go into the pan. You know, listen, they work on pans, good, good for them. What we focus on here is handles, and a quality handle is going to make that pan so much better. And so listen, if you come to me, you buy a $300 handle, that handle is going to last a lifetime. And I know that, you know, $300 is really a steal for that kind of longevity. And I do that because I know that you'll come back to me for all your other handle needs.
That's great to know. And, you know, I see this all the time on cooking competition shows, on, you know, the Food Network, where some guy who has spent so much money on his equipment, his pans, will come with his $3,000 pans, and he tries to pull it out of the oven, but it doesn't have a handle, and he burns his hands and loses the competition. So I can't stress the importance of investing in a handle as well as the pan.
You know, now that you mention it, Elliot, that's how Jeffrey Zakarian lost the next Food Network Star 2014. So handle that he was using exploded on him. So I'm a believer. Start drafting up one of those order forms, Russell, because you've just converted someone.
Absolutely. I hope you'll excuse me. I have run out of ink in my ballpoint pen, but I will start writing out one of those forms as soon as I can find.
Does that say BIC 1982 on it? Have you been using the same pen since 1982?
I sure have, yeah. Has served me pretty well. Haven't really been able to get a new one in several decades. But
I'm more concerned that you haven't needed to get a new one.
Yeah, well, for the last 7 or 8 years there, I was really just scratching into the paper to make an indentation. Sometimes would have to supplement that with soot just to make sure it left a mark. Once I can get you kind of scratched together in order form, I'll put you down. If you would like, I can put you down for a 3-pack. It would be $900, 3 handles.
Just the 1 handle is actually just fine.
Are you sure? Because they make great gifts. Do you have a girlfriend?
I'm currently single.
Currently single. Well, listen, if you want a way to impress someone on that first date, you bring a quality handler handles handle. Oh boy, they are for sure gonna put out.
All right, I'm convinced. Give me the 3-pack, and I'll give you the next segment.
That's when we call At Long Last.
So, listeners, you know, in addition to being handle fans, we're also huge geography buffs. My brother and I have made a living out of studying why and where places are. So their location on the map, in terms of geography, topography, and location, is supremely interesting to us. Thus, the segment At Long Lat, where we examine the location and the surroundings of the town that we're visiting. Elliot, an interesting place because we're in one of the most definable and identifiable geographic features when you look at a map, the Oklahoma Panhandle.
That's true. It's somewhat of an icon in the United States. And Russell, I really want to talk about the chicken and egg scenario that has been posed through the Panhandle of Oklahoma. Did the Panhandle of Oklahoma spurn the business of panhandles, or was it the other way around?
Right. It's quite the origin story, I'd say. And I'll just say I feel a tremendous amount of pride when I look at the map of these United States and look down at Oklahoma, and I see that handle. I look at the pan, if you will, of Oklahoma. I don't feel much for that, I'll be honest. But look at that handle, and really on the bad days, which, to be honest, are quite more frequent these years, that fills me with hope. And it's really because that's what really spurred our business. Once Handler was laid down, in Oklahoma, when it was finally incorporated and became part of these United States, people knew, you know, you go to the Panhandle, you go to Handler, that's where you pick up the handles. And it was just kind of that name recognition. You know, young kids today might know of search engine optimization. This was the original search engine optimization. People knew of the Panhandle. They knew if they head there and they head to Handler, they can get panhandles.
Sure. Why would you be selling handles in Maine if you can sell them in the Panhandle, literally, in Oklahoma.
Exactly. And somewhat ironically, at this point, if you've ever been to Pan, Maine is actually the United States' largest distributor, I should say, of panhandles now. Quite ironic because I really moved down here for economic opportunity, and looks like had I kind of stayed the course, things might have turned out a little differently.
So is it true that Maine has started to try and fudge some borders a little and make its own panhandle lately?
It sure has. If I don't know how up-to-date you guys are on kind of geographic satellite image of Maine.
Extremely. Extremely up-to-date.
So you have noticed that there's an increasing amount of sediment kind of dropped out into the ocean off of the southeast coast of Maine. And that sediment we believe, is to eventually, over the next 100 years or so, actually build out enough to create a handle.
Interesting.
So is there anything that Handler, Oklahoma is trying to do to combat that, to maybe make their handle of Oklahoma more defined or something?
Yeah, we've definitely tried to build up our handle and maybe curve it a little bit to show, to kind of match the panhandle of Oklahoma with one of our more ergonomic models that we have today. You know, back in the day, everything was pretty pretty flat and rigid, very smooth lines, which great aesthetic. You know, you can still get that from me if you would like, from our vintage catalog line, but you guys can talk to me about that after the show if you're interested.
There's no need to pose with an open page of the catalog every time that you mention something like this, Russell.
I would disagree. I think there is a need to do that.
It's salesmanship, Vince.
Fair enough. You know, I'm maybe, you know what? I'm a little insecure about my own salesmanship. That's why I'm pushing back.
Well, you already spent $900 on panhandles. So.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I much appreciate that sale. That is basically, I'm gonna eat, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that's how we're gonna have to explain this to Xander when he sees that $900 be deducted from the travel fund, Vince.
Xander's seen worse, frankly.
That's very true. And I hope we're moving on to better things in our next segment, Vince.
I hope so, too. It's a segment I love, and I know that you love it, too, listeners. It's called Did You Know?
So Did You Know is our weekly fast fact round, firing five facts at you, the listener, from whatever town we're in. Guys, I've got the first one.
Let's hear it, Elliot.
Did you know that in Handler, Oklahoma, there is a doctrine that says no one is allowed to exercise?
Well, that doesn't sound very healthy. Russell, do you care to comment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's been in place since the town founding. It's obviously, we want people to use handles. And when you exercise and when you kind of develop stronger forearm muscles, handles become not as necessary. And so it's written into the town charter that one must not exercise.
Well, and if you don't exercise, you develop handles of your own. Love handles.
Exactly. And as you guys can see, my love handles, you can see it a little bit because my shirt is somewhat threadbare towards the bottom of my torso.
I would say it's just like around your neck it stops. The sleeves aren't connected to it.
It looks like if you're in one of those shops that sell sort of herbal remedies and alternative medicine, how they have the beaded curtain that separates rooms instead of a proper door. Your shirt looks like one of those.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
I'm not certain that it was a compliment, but
well, listen, I'll be quite frank. When you've lived my life, you gotta take things as compliments that may not actually be compliments.
I see.
So yeah, I appreciate the compliment, and I was just gonna point out my own love handles that droop considerably. Few inches down over my shorts.
Yeah, I'm confused actually about your anatomy here, Russell. You're not a very obese man. In fact, you're svelte. The only part of you that has any fat at all are your love handles, but they're very prominent.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And now again, I have to say that more of an observation, less of a compliment. I'm actually a bit, what's the word, Elliot, that I'm looking for? Horrified, off-put.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Vince, I'm going to go ahead and take that as a compliment, and I thank you.
I'm going to have to insist that you don't, actually, Russell.
I think, Russell, what you're demonstrating, though, is commitment to your craft, and that's something I think we can all appreciate. And do you have the next Did You Know fact for us?
Yeah, I sure did. Did you know that Handler actually sells a whole line of plate handles?
Interesting.
I'm intrigued.
And I see you already have brought out the catalog.
I sure have. You can see I'm on page 93 right here.
For you listeners following along at home.
Right. And you guys did say that you were going to be sending a copy of our catalog to each and every one of your listeners.
No, we did not say that. No. In fact, when you asked us earlier before the show, we emphatically said no to that proposition.
I understand. Well, I appreciate that compliment. I'll move right along. our plate handles, have you ever had trouble holding onto a plate? You sure have, because it's hard.
You seem to have answered for us.
right, you are. Well, it's just a very common problem. It's one that we all have. And so our handles will affix to the plate at a perpendicular 90-degree angle. You're able to hold on to that plate. We also have some of our kind of latest models that include a little gyro on there, so no matter how you turn the handle, the plate is going to remain perfectly level.
Wow, so what do one of these go for?
So $1,400, and it's yours if you want to get that upgrade gyro model.
Oh, that's the base model. The base plate model is $1,400.
$1,400 for our entry level handle there. But trust me, you're never going to break a plate again in your life. And that's a guarantee I will make, though I must say that's not an actual guarantee. That's just one that I'm telling you.
Judging by the amount of porcelain that we're all sitting in, Vince, I feel like maybe you should grab one of those.
All right. We've got the family coffers at our behest. Go ahead. Queue up one of the gyro models.
All right. That's excellent. You know what? I'm gonna sign you up for our top-of-the-line handle gyromometer. It's
did you say gyromometer?
That's correct. Yeah. Based off of the popularity of thermometers, that's how we decided to name it. And yeah, if you just go to page 943, that's where all of our kind of electronic handles lie. We'll get that one set up for you. It's going to be just over $5,000, and we'll get that to you. Really, it will fit an. I am not joking right now. It will fit any plate you have.
Terrific. Well, wow. Yep. Consider that sounds like it done. An investment to me. Sound. It's really a sound purchase. Well, guys, I didn't know that, but did you guys know there's an interesting secondary market here in Handler, Oklahoma that wasn't necessarily intentional?
What would that be, Vince?
Of course, it's the convention scene. Have you any insight into this? I'll expound here in a second. Mostly comes from the fact that a misguided Star Wars convention right after the release of The Empire Strikes Back stopped in Handler and never looked back. Of course, instead of Pan Handles, it was Han Panderers, which is, of course, Han Solo and Panderers to him. Do you care to expound on how one accidental scheduling snafu has led to what is a booming secondary market here in Handler, Oklahoma?
Very elaborate accident.
Yeah, and that's been right after Empire was released. They just wanted to come through the United States as a touring kind of exhibition. They got stuck here, really. Actually, their flight left without them, but the people had so really adopted the ethos of the town, really understood it on such a base level, that they decided to stay here and raise their families here, and they still all live down in the convention center downtown. Every day is Star Wars Day down there. And yeah, you guys could stop by. You can pick up some memorabilia, and you can see those Han Panderers.
Well, Vince, I didn't know that, and it's an incredible Did You Know fact. But did you guys know that there is a constant influx of the Latino community here in Handler, Oklahoma?
Wow, you know, that fits the demographic profile of Texas and Oklahoma. I'm willing to believe it, but why is that, Elliot?
Well, that's, of course, another misunderstanding. In Spanish, pan means bread. And so a lot of people came here thinking it was America's breadbasket, which we all know is more in the Midwest. And so a lot of Latino people come here, they open up their own panaderias, and they sell bread, and this becomes a competing industry to the panhandle industry. Isn't that right, Russell?
That's correct, yeah. And it's, yeah, I've lost a considerable amount of business to people trying to buy bread, or people recognizing that their need for bread might be greater than their need for handles, if you can imagine such a thing, which I sure can't. Yeah, if we're looking at, you know, the hierarchy of needs, surely handles are on that bottom, that base of the pyramid.
Yes, Maslow originally designed the hierarchy of needs with handles being the base need.
At the very bottom, there's sort of, you know, what you remember probably from psychology 101, college students, is that, you know, there's the eating, sleeping, sort of fornicating layer. Beneath that is the handle layer, which is a layer completely focused around needing to hold things.
Yeah, it gets back to the whole nature versus nurture ideology. It's very simple psychological thing.
Well, I guess that does it for that Did You Know fact. Russell, do you have the final Did You Know fact for us?
I do, and this is actually another competing industry I'd like to talk about and explain why people do not need. It also arises from a misunderstanding, but we are America's largest exporter of pencils.
I wouldn't even guess that. So how did that come about?
Well, as you know, pencils, spelt P-E-N, to start. I'll just leave you there.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's true. It's
right?
Tough
people
to refute
confused.
That.
Started those first three letters instead, P-A-N, when they got here. Just kind of a mix-up between where they were and what they were selling, which now actually Handler exports many pencils under the term pencils. And you guys might have used a pencil in your life, too. Any number two pencil is technically a pencil. A lot of people don't know that. Very large business for the town, owned by Blake, of course. But, yeah, also really, really cuts into some of my needs when people think that, hey, they need to write something down more than they need to hold something.
Blake Handler actually owns the patent for any pencil, so he gets royalties. And I'm looking at this almost Ponzi scheme-esque business plan he's drawn, and that triangle is the tip of a pencil.
That's exactly right. Yeah, pencils, you know, quite popular here in this town, quite popular around, and definitely key to Blake's, we'll call it, business.
That was an enlightening round of Did You Know facts, Vince.
It sure was. My head is still personally swimming, but maybe we should take this opportunity to regrettably resign the show with our final segment.
Wish you were here.
So listeners, in a perfect world, you would be able to travel with us to places like Handler, Oklahoma. But since that's not possible, instead we will give you the next best thing. It's an audio postcard from us to you, and it goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here with us in Handler, Oklahoma.
Historically the largest manufacturer of panhandles, but now a manufacturer of handles of all shapes, sizes, and varieties.
A town that has fallen on difficult economic times and has had to turn to such things as innovation, Star Wars conventions, and pencils, the strangely named alternative to pencils.
A town that, when he has time off, Russell Brinkman, salesman for Handler Handles and Handholds, calls home.
A town where you won't be short on innovation or gumption.
And a town that definitely has a handle on a good time.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Listeners, thanks for joining us in Handler, Oklahoma. Hopefully you come back next week when Vince and I are in Marshfield, Mississippi.
Now, Marshfield, Mississippi is an interesting town. It was built originally by a founder who established it as a sign from God. Unfortunately, it was built on a very marshy swamp, so it has to be risen an average of 10 feet per year, the rate at which it's sinking. Well, that sounds interesting. Hope you join us next week.